This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top story of the day. The Athletics will leave Oakland after the 2024 season and play at least 3 years in a minor league ballpark in West Sacramento. That's what they announced Thursday morning. The team and Oakland officials announced early Thursday morning. That ends the Athletics' 56 tenure in the East Bay. 56 years. A stretch that included four World Series championships, though the current team is not so good. It's probably going to lose 100 again.
Does the Coliseum have that nostalgic feel to it anymore?
I don't know. It's a dump, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, but they're going to go to Sacramento. But here's the thing. They're just going to stay the A's. It's kind of like, it reminds me of when the Chargers were playing in that, like, where were they playing?
San Diego?
Yeah, but they were in between times. They were like at a high school stadium.
In like Santa Clara or something?
Yeah, but they were still called the San Diego Chargers. And this is, Sacramento's like, no, you can't use us. You're just the Athletics.
The Oakland Athletics of Sacramento.
Yes. So they're in limbo for the next 3 years.
How about we just get baseball teams out of California? They have enough.
They have everything.
Two of them don't even know where their home is.
Yeah, they have a lot of different teams. They do. But it does, I mean, it probably sounds like they are going to make it happen in Las Vegas now. It's just going to take some time. They signed the 3-year deal lease for 25-27 with a team option for 2028 in case the planned ballpark on the Las Vegas Strip is not completed in time. The Athletics will share Sutter Health Park, which has 10,624 permanent seats. Lawn seating opportunities that could boost the capacity to up to 14,000.
Be cool to see.
It'd be full
lawn seating,
right?
Major League Stadium.
Yeah, I
or
think
Major League game
should be easy to fill that, right? Even if you're the A's,
I would think so. With the way their fan base is passionate about change in their organization, sure.
Yeah, they're
until they leave.
They're sharing that. They have the Sacramento River Cats and the San Francisco Giants. That's the Giants AAA team, the River Cats. Minor league baseball has the best names.
Yes.
I mean, there's no question. Just names you don't. What is a river cat? Is it a tiger? I mean,
I've told you my hometown was the Montgomery Biscuits.
Yeah, that's the best.
Love it.
That's the best one. I do love that. Boy. You knew they were going to have to find a temporary spot, but it sounds like the strike did not work. The protests that the A's fans were trying to get done. Just not going to work. Athletics president Dave Cavall called Oakland chief of staff Lee Hansen at 7:30 in the morning to inform her of the team's decision. Owner John Fisher followed 5 minutes later with a call to Oakland mayor Shang Tao, and the team announced its move on social media 10 minutes after that. So the A's will just be the A's. They will not have the Sacramento thing tied to it. They won't have Oakland tied to it. You're just going to call them the Athletics. Hmm. Yeah. I put the question out there last week. It's like, could we see something like this ever happen in Colorado? And people are like, no, he makes too much money. There's too many people that are there. And they're not as bad as the Athletics and all that stuff. Historically, yeah. Yeah. The Rockies have done virtually nothing. I mean, they made it to the World Series. They've got that. That's their thing. But I'm not, like, you made it to the playoffs five times. And most of those times were wild card berths, I think, right?
Yeah, and that playoff run was 17 years ago.
We're getting to 2000, yeah? 10 years? No, yeah, 17. Ooh. Wow, really?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
There are kids in high school that have never, that don't even know what Rocktober is.
Yeah, it's...
And you keep saying, oh, we're getting Rocktober back, we're the hunt for it. Keep hunting, because the forest is dense, and you can't find it.
Dick Monfort won't sell it. I get it. I don't like the reasons that some people are, I think Tanner had mentioned, was family and stuff. It's like, I've said this a lot, and I said it this week. You own a team, you buy a team, you owe it to the fans. If you're not doing right by the fans, get out, man, sell that thing. And I believe in owning your stuff, and you buy it, it's yours. I think sports, owning sports teams fits in its own category, you know?
My granddad had this restaurant his entire life, and he gave it to me, and it's kind of a dump. Can't really do much with it, and I don't want to go into the restaurant business.
Aaron texting in, can we lobby the MLB to get another team in Colorado? Well, the A's are looking for a spot if Vegas doesn't happen.
I mean, statistically, if you get a second team and they perform well, then it's you can kind of get rid of the altitude narrative. You know, maybe Colorado Springs wants a team.
Flying Dutchman says, let us never forget all of the Rockies' postseason appearances have been as a wild card. The Rockies have never won the division.
And they probably never will.
I don't see how you can. You won't have the right mindset. You don't have the right money. It doesn't make sense. The Dodgers will never be not the Dodgers with that ownership group. They're going to spend the money. They have it. And this is why it's like, I mean, you buy a team, that comes with a lot more pressure than buying a restaurant, as you said, or a chain of restaurants. This is a business. I get it. You're a capitalist. You go buy it. It's yours. I understand that. But I think when you buy a team, man, you are saying, hey, fans, I'm going to do what's right by you. It's unacceptable. When has Dick Monfort come out and said something like Pat Bowlen used to say? Like, it's unacceptable. I mean, Pat Bowlen would say it all the time. Pat Bowlen wrote a letter to the fans when the NFL was on strike and they missed the Hall of Fame game several years ago. He wrote a letter that said, we're going to do what we can, man. This is unacceptable. This is hurting the fans the most, and we're going to do this. And that was something that was really heartfelt, and it worked. Bowlen did the same stuff when it came to his teams. You know, we're a Super Bowl team. And I get it. It's football compared to baseball. I do understand there's major differences there. But it's just year after year, it's the same BS by this team. It's getting worse. This is getting worse.
Well, and all we heard from Monfort last week was, I want to win. My biggest problem is I hate losing, and it is hard to debate anybody when you are losing.
That's your biggest problem? You hate losing? Your biggest problem is that you are losing.
Money doesn't seem to be the issue with him.
Yeah.
Because you folks will still go out and enjoy your Saturday afternoons in Coors Field.
And again,
do
like,
it.
I said, it's go do what makes you happy. Life's too short. Angel, last year was their worst season ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've never lost 100 games
by
before.
A good bit.
I'm just looking at their. Let's not even talk about the playoffs. Okay, they made it to the playoffs in 1995. They lost. Was that a wild? That wasn't a wild card, was it? That wasn't a wild card game, was it? But they were 77-67 in 1995. That was their third year in existence. Then they didn't go again until 2007. So you go 12 years in between, and that was, I think they lost the wild card series there. And then it was 2009. So right there, you go 2007 and then 2009. Obviously, that was the spectacular. Wasn't that the crazy year for them? Or no, it was 2007, wasn't it? Wasn't that 2007, the World Series year? Then you go back. And it was what, Clint Hurdle was the guy? So you kind of thought, okay, from 2007, 2010, probably one of the better times for Rockies. Then they go another 10 years without making the playoffs. They lost in the NL wild card in 2017, and then they lost in the, I think they won a wild card game in 2018. I think that was against the Cubs. But they lost the actual next playoff series.
Yeah. So, the Hurdle years, and then you had Tracy for 3 years, Walt Weiss for a number of years. First 2 years with Bud Black, they make the playoffs. Nothing since.
And you thought, man, whoa, Bud Black, this is good, yeah. But since then, it's gotten worse. You know, the Nolan Arenado situation. Every year has just gotten a little bit worse than that. After the playoff run, or after the playoffs in 2018, the Rockies were 71-91, and then that was the COVID year. They were 26-34, played 60 games that year. 2021, 74-87. 2022, 68-94. And now, last year, 59-103. And now they're sitting at 1-6. It's getting worse. And, you know, Dick Monfort even mentioned that in the Denver Post article that you pulled up, Angel. That I know a lot of people wanted us to get an outside perspective and a GM, but you know what? We didn't. We got Bill Schmidt. And this isn't like a Bill Schmidt hate on him or anything. It's just, it is what it is. And
bad business.
Quit doing the things that put you in this spot. What do you keep doing? Dan O'Dowd didn't work. Let's bring up his protege. He'll be good. He probably subscribes to the same line of thinking. Well, Breitich didn't work. Oh, you know what? Let's bring in his right-hand man, Bill Schmidt. Get somebody new with fresh ideas. 17 minutes after the hour, let's talk Nuggets. That's fresh. Let's talk Nuggets with the voice of the Denver Nuggets, Jason Kosmitsky. In just a moment, we got Nuggets game. You're going to hear Jason right here on 103.1 at 1310 KFKA tonight. We'll be right back.
Podcasts are available at 1310kfk.com.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show. We are powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Exciting day here at the station. We've got three games coming up this afternoon. We got a high school baseball game, huge one, with Severance and Riverdale Ridge. And then we're going to have the Avalanche Wild game coming up here as part of our affiliate agreement with Altitude Radio. And then we're going to hear this guy, Jason Kosmitsky, on the call tonight for the Nuggets and the Clippers. Jason, my man, I always love having you on my program. But now, man, I mean, I love having you on the station. We're going to be able to hear you a lot here on KFKA throughout Northern Colorado.
Hey, listen, man, I have a house in Lake McConaughey, Nebraska, and I'm a huge KFKA guy. So it's good to be back, or it's good to be back on, or however the way you want it. It's just good talking to you guys again.
Oh, I love it, man. We are so excited. It's big news, and man, it's a big game tonight, too. What better way to start this off? The Nuggets are in that race for the one seed, and I think going up against the Clippers tonight, Jason.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how important that number one seed is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody falls in love with that. I guess it's because it's that time of the year. And so I'll embrace it. You know, you get the number one seed, you have home court all the way through until you get to the, you know, NBA finals. So I guess that's something. But, you know, in my opinion, number two's not bad. I mean, you want to get it for sure. You want to get it. You got something to chase and all that stuff. But I think at the end of the day, you just want to be as healthy as you can possibly be, and playing as good as basketball as you can possibly be. So it'd be great to get the number one seed. The Nuggets are they're in the, you know, we're in control of our own destiny here. Win out, you'll have the number one seed. So, but we'll see where it falls.
Well, and you know, part of that, like you said, the health thing, that's been a big topic of conversation too, with Jamal Murray's situation. And that's where, you know, when you hear Coach Malone saying, "Hey, the number one seed, that's not our focus," people wonder what that means. Like, okay, does that mean you're not trying hard to win it? No, it means that, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like, hey, if we have a guy that's like day to day on the injury side of things, maybe we don't force it, maybe we don't play it. If they really valued that one seed to the, you know, the most important thing, then they might ask guys to push through a little bit more.
Exactly that. So, like, if this were Game 3 of the NBA Finals and you know, 2 days ago and 4 days ago, would Jamal be playing 100%? Yes, you know. But that's kind of what I get back at. It's like, you know, when you look at the West, I mean, it's not as easy as it was last year. I'm not going to lie. I mean, last year, I don't want to say it was a breeze because, you know, winning an NBA title is never an easy thing to do, right? So, but you ask yourself, you look at all these Western Conference teams, and it's a lot harder this year because everybody's bunched up. You have Minnesota, you have Denver, Oklahoma City, L.A. Clippers, Phoenix, Sacramento, Golden State, and the L.A. Lakers, and Dallas. I think I got them all in there, right?
I think you did. I think you nailed it.
So now you ask yourself, out of all of those teams, who's going to beat Denver in a 7-game series? It's a hard... I don't know who would do that, but you never know, right? So somebody could catch fire. So I just think, I've been saying this for a while now, is that just be as healthy as possible. Denver has the best starting five in the NBA. That's not me talking. That's just facts. That's what it is, you know. They've been together for a long time. It's going to be really hard to beat Denver in a 7-game series. And it's going to be a little bit more of a grind than it was last year. It's not going to be as easy as it was last year. Denver went 16-4 in the playoffs last year to win the NBA title. And it's not going to be that easy this year, but it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. I promise you that.
Joining us now, the voice of the Denver Nuggets, Jason Kosmitsky. When you look at it, you know, the matchups, is there any thought process there for Coach Malone, do you think, where he's like, you know, it'd be better to go up against the Pelicans? You know, again, if the play-in makes it more difficult to play that game,
right,
because you don't
right.
know who that's going to be, but if it ended the way it looks on paper, is there any thought there, or is it, no, you know, you can't even play that game anymore because of the play-in?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, right? And I think this is the one and only time that coaching comes into play in the NBA. Because let's be honest, man. I could be coaching the Denver Nuggets right now. Seriously. Throw it to Joker.
Yeah. Give it to Joker and see what happens, man. Yeah, I agree.
But it can get a little squirrely. Like, you know, want or desire or must, or however which way you want to dress it up, that's a big thing in today's NBA. And, you know, you look at a team like Phoenix, right? I mean, look at the Suns. Here they are. They sold their soul. I mean, they sold everything. They went all in to win an NBA title this year. They have no picks. They have no money. They have no nothing. They did everything that they had to do in order to win the NBA championship this year. And right now, they're fighting to be out of the play-in tournament, right? So I don't know, man. It goes a lot of different ways. It's so squirrely. That play-in thing is really weird, but I love it. I mean, obviously the fans love it. So there's going to be a lot of bumps and roads and all that stuff down the road, but I think at the end of the day, you're looking at one of the two best teams in the NBA. I'm scared about Boston, but, you know, the first things first, let's get through the Western Conference and see what goes from there.
Who does scare you, you know, with all these teams that you've seen? Because you can make a case for any team, you know, Minnesota,
right.
You know, they're motivated. They're viewing the Nuggets as their whale they got to slay. You can look at the Thunder, young and up and coming. But then you mentioned the Suns. You even look at the play-in teams. The Lakers, if they ended up going up against the Nuggets, you don't think they're going to be as high as they've been in a long time, as up as they've been in a long time. So who, after seeing so many of these teams throughout the course of the year, Jason, who scares you the most?
I mean, we could go one by one in the Western Conference. I'll do it real fast.
Okay.
Real fast. The Lakers are a non-factor. They're just a bad basketball team. The Nuggets have beat them 8 times in a row. Yeah, they got a lot of fancy names over there, but they don't have it. The Clippers were worrisome early, but look how bad they played over the last 30 games. You know, I mean, so that kind of goes away. You have Sacramento. That's an up-and-comer. They have a lot of want. They have a lot of will. But I just don't – they don't play good enough defense in order to get it done, so they kind of go away. And then that brings us to Phoenix, who could do it, and they have a really good coach in Frank Vogel. I just don't understand why they're not all on the same page. I know they missed Bradley Beal a lot of the year. That team does scare me. I'm not going to lie. But then you go to the Oklahoma City Thunder. In the next 4 or 5 years, they're going to be beast mode. But they're just young. They're too young right now. Other than SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, they're really good. I just don't know. I don't think they know what they're getting into. Does that make sense when they come to the playoffs? Yeah, you know, I mean, but they're still really good. And then you have Minnesota, and the problem with Minnesota is they can't close. I mean, that's been their history. It's a lot like the Boston Celtics. It's like you can be up by 20 in the fourth quarter and still beat those dudes. So they just don't have it. It takes so much. There's a lot of X factors in order to win playoff games. And fortunately for Denver, as of this year, not a lot of teams have that. The only teams that have that, besides the Nuggets, are the LA Clippers and the Phoenix Suns, because they've had dudes that have been there before. So the longer you can avoid those guys, and it's the same way with Boston. You know, Boston got beat by Miami, a play-in team last year. And Miami went to the NBA Finals because they haven't been there before. So I don't know, man. I almost cussed right there. This stuff is so amazing and so fun. So we're about there. We got a handful of games left. It's going to be a blast.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on the Suns. Why aren't the Suns better? Is this an example? Is this like a case of too much star power that can't figure it out on a consistent basis?
You know what I think it is? It's I don't know why they're not better. I mean, that's a really, really good basketball team. Forget about the big three. You know, they have our boy, you know, our guy Nurkic there. They have a lot of really good surrounding pieces. They have a very good basketball coach. And I think what it might be, bro, is that they started too late. You know, they didn't take the beginning part of the season serious enough. Right? And that's what Malone is so good at, is that he gets everybody ready. It's like, you're November 12th. Does that game against Cleveland matter? A lot of teams say no. Malone says yes. I just think they started too late, and now they're playing catch-up, and now they have the hardest schedule remaining, albeit 1 week, in the NBA. I don't think they were ready for the season. I don't know why.
Jason Kosmitsky joining us on our First Advantage hotline, I should say. When you look at just this Nuggets team as they're preparing for the playoffs, obviously one of those big questions, we talked about Jamal, but the other big question is, you know, what's the bench unit going to look like? Who's going to step up? Are we going to see Christian Brown kind of do what he did last year? Can Reggie Jackson take over the role of what Bruce Brown was? And then Peyton Watson. What is your assessment at this stage? How concerned are you about the bench unit going into the playoffs?
That's such a good question. I'm highly concerned. I'm not going to lie, man. I will always speak the truth. You know, you march through the whole thing last year, and you have Jeff Green and Bruce Brown, who nobody ever heard of until last year. And now it's this year. But, you know, if you're a fan of an NBA team, you have to be a fan of the NBA team's finances. And so obviously you cannot keep those guys. I mean, we just all knew that. So now this year, so the way it's going to happen is this, is that in the first round, you get to play 9 guys, okay? And then you're going to win the first round. Then after that, you play 8 guys in the next round. Okay, so that's 3 guys off the bench. Then after that, you play 7 guys from there on out. So basically what you're down to is 8 guys, which is 3 bench players. And right now they sit as this. Reggie Jackson, And I'm going to put DeAndre Jordan in there as kind of an X factor because he's not going to play every game. So kind of let's just throw him out. So you have Reggie Jackson off the bench, Justin Holiday, Christian Brown, and Peyton Watson. So out of those four dudes, you have to find three guys that you can trust. And in my opinion right now is Reggie Jackson, Justin Holiday, and Christian Brown. And the X factor is Peyton Watson. Can he do it? He's so good on the defensive end. But it's really hard, bro, to tell somebody, go play defense and don't shoot a three, right? I mean, you can't really do that. So it's going to be interesting. We got six more games to figure out what those other three guys are going to do. But that's basically what you're looking at.
And Justin Holiday is so interesting too, Jason. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I wouldn't have thought, hey, we're having this conversation about him being such a big piece. But when he does get his opportunities, he seems to take advantage of them.
Doesn't make mistakes. He's a veteran. He understands the game of basketball. He's got two brothers that play in the NBA. And, you know, a lot of times, normally when brothers play in the NBA, they're like 7 feet, and these guys aren't, you know. They have Drew and Aaron Holiday that both play in the NBA. And I kind of saw this one coming a little bit because he's from such a basketball family, and the Nuggets never played him at all, right? I mean, that, you know, back in the early part of the season, it was like, if you're going to play Justin Holiday, you got to take away Christian Brown minutes. And I never bought into that. I never believed that. And I just think that, you know, because he's been in the league a long time, they knew they could pull the trigger on him at any time that they wanted to. And they finally started doing that here in the last 15 or so games. So Justin Holiday is going to be the best Nugget player that nobody ever talks about. He's going to be a big part of the playoffs, no doubt about it.
You're getting me pumped up, Jason. We're so pumped. It was great timing, too, to be able to get this deal done with the Altitude Radio Network and KFKA, because we're going to get to follow you along during this playoff run. And, man, you know I love listening to you on air. I had the honor of sitting next to you once. Was that 2 years ago? Just to kind of see how you did your thing. It's magical, man. You make it happen.
Well, come back anytime, man. I'm still in the same spot, bro.
I'm going to come in, and I'll just, like, hand you, you know, drinks and food and stuff, dude. I'll just whatever you need. I'll be like your camera grip guy on a movie set. Whatever you need, I'm in.
That's always fun. But listen to me, bro. It's 10 times more fun on the road, so get that handled.
All right, man. I'll at some point, we're going to make it happen, dude. Have a great call tonight. We are absolutely honored to be able to have your voice and Connor McGahee's voice with the Avs on KFKA on a regular basis. It's going to be so much fun.
Here's a liner for you. Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
We got it done right there live, dude. This is a pro we're talking about. This is a pro. That's why I shut up. All right, my man. Have a good one tonight. Let's go, Nugs.
All right, we'll talk at you.
Jason Kosmitsky, did you get that, Angel? Yeah, let's send that to Micah. That'll make his life a little bit easier. Interesting. Interesting what he had to say. He thinks it's going to be Reggie, Christian, Justin Holiday. And then Watson is the X factor. How about that? Holiday has played his way in to becoming somebody that can be a factor in the playoffs. Now, he, you know, his last few games against San Antonio, he had 5 points, 2 blocks, 3 boards. Against Cleveland, he had 7 points. It's not really the stats, though. It's kind of what Jeff Green was to this team, right? It's not just about the stats. It's about not screwing up. You can't put us in a bad position. You can't take bad shots, make bad passes, get caught up, you know, pounding the floor with the basketball when it needs to be moving around and getting into the stars' hands. And he's been able to do that. 38 minutes after the hour. Let me read a couple of texts, Angel. We got some stuff on the Rockies still. This one, somewhere here, if I could load it. It's just, it's one of those deals, man. Okay. You're from the 970. When an owner comes out and states playing 500 ball is their goal, they need to sell the team. They aren't interested in winning, period. And some would say, okay, Dick's being realistic. But I don't want you to be realistic. I want you to shoot for the stars, and I want you to say that. But we give him crap when he does shoot for the stars, too, to be fair. Just to be fair. But you're right. He has done that. You know, we play 500 ball. I think we can make the playoffs. A real goal is to make the playoffs 1 out of 5 years. Can you imagine if Calvin Booth or the Kroenkes came out today and said, you know, we got a lot of greatness, but I think for us to be in the playoffs, 1 out of 5, and I know there's more teams. I get it. I do get it. But if they said something like that, or if Greg Penner, and when they took over and said, you know, our goal is honestly just to see if we can get in maybe twice in the next 10 years. Broncos fans would crucify them. It's happening. They haven't been to the playoffs. But Broncos fans would lose their crap if Pat Bowlen ever came out and said, you know, now that Elway's gone, we're kind of just hoping that we can get in the playoffs once every 5 years. They'd have laughed him out of there, man. They'd have put so much pressure on him. But Bud Black, Dick Monfort says those things. Flying Dutchman, does Bud Black make it to the All-Star break? You think Bud Black's the fall guy? Do you think Dick Monfort will not fire Bud Black? He will not do it. Schmidt won't do it because Dick won't let him. I don't believe so. I mean, unless they're like 3-24, how bad would it get? I just think they're too loyal over there, folks. That's a loyal group to a fault. Dick Monfort, I think he's going to have a really hard time signing off on that decision.
The worst record in the modern era, so this is 1901 to now, was the Philadelphia Athletics in 1916. They went 36-117.
Do you see that happening? It's hard to predict
that. It's
hard
for me to see them get over 50 wins.
What was the record? What was that record?
36-117.
That's insane.
In 1916.
They didn't even play as many games then, did they? I don't know. What is that? Like, my math is off, Angel. Texter here from 970. Do you think the team has lost...
153.
Huh? 153? Do you think the team has lost trust in Bud Black and they don't want to play for him? I have a hard time believing that right now. I don't know that you have the guys. I don't know that you have the guys on this team. Pitching's not good.
I don't like my manager, so I'm going to go out and not get a hit or not feel the ball the right way.
Yeah, I don't know, 12:42 the time. We got a break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We got Connor McGahee coming up in the third hour. Talking all things Avs Wild tonight. That game's going to be right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA as well. It is a busy day. Tanner Schwintz in baseball mode. He's going to be broadcasting the Riverdale Ridge and Severance game coming up this afternoon. I believe coverage starts at 3:30. After that game, we jump over to Avs Wild with Connor McGahee on the call. And then after that game, we jump over to Nuggets Clippers with Jason Kosmitsky on the call. So there's no reason to leave us ever. You will be with us forever, and that's not creepy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It is astonishing when you look at Holiday, Angel, that he's been able to just do enough. Is that him doing enough to get the attention of Michael Malone? Or is it Peyton Watson not doing enough? That this is the default guy. And I'm not taking anything away from Holiday because, as Jason said, he doesn't screw up. He doesn't make mistakes. But I feel like if the opportunity was there for Peyton Watson to earn that, you know, whatever that is, seventh, eighth man, it was there. He just didn't take it. And Justin Holiday right now is going to get those minutes until Peyton Watson proves that you can trust him.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of how it is with Christian Brown last year. It was a little more of he's earning it, but also because the bench isn't, you know, it's you and Bruce Brown and Jeff Green's our alternate guy, they kind of just made it work. But now, since you're now in that area of chasing championships and you want to try to get as many as you can with this unit, yeah, I think Malone is an old school coach. He's going to go with Holiday.
He doesn't. We know he has a hard time trusting rookies anyway. I mean, he didn't trust Michael Porter Jr. when he was young. He had to trust Bones Highland because of the Jamal Murray injury. Christian Brown, we didn't talk a whole lot about throughout the regular season last year. And then it was just like, bam, he was coming on strong. Who else am I missing as far as like some of those young guys? He struggled to give them opportunities for a while. I mean, it was MPJ, the main one that comes to mind. But I don't know. Other rookies? I mean,
Strother, Pickett, Strother. Guys that have not seen many minutes in the last 2 months.
And you get why, like, you got to trust him. You know, you got to – Bones Highland had to play because of the injury to Jamal. You had to play him. But that wasn't – I think ultimately they looked at that and they're like, wow, he's not going to fit. He doesn't fit this set, this system. He doesn't fit this Joker-led team, this team that's built around a passing center. Bones wants to dribble around and slash and, you know, be a one-on-one ISO player a lot of times and just launch. It doesn't work. So he was right to not trust him. He just had to. Peyton Watson, it's like Kaz said, you know, you can't put a guy out there and just say, play defense and don't shoot the three. It doesn't work. You get a guy that's open, they're NBA players. They're going to take the three. That's going to happen. But this is the watch, man. And listen, Kaz is not a homer. He's the voice of the Nuggets, and he's certainly not a homer. He tells you like it is. I'm concerned that he's concerned. Like, I wanted him to say, yeah, the bench units, I think it'll be. He said he's concerned. He's very worried about it. So that will be the thing that's going to keep us on the edge of our seats watching these Nuggets playoffs. Can we just get there already? My goodness.
It's only 2 more weeks.
Yeah, it's taking forever. I'm ready to go. I'm tired of playing these games that don't matter anymore. 49 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. Kevin Lytle's going to join us in studio from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he's our Rams insider. I got so many questions for Kevin. So he's actually going to sit in with us for the 1 o'clock hour today. I'm also going to have Connor McGahee on the program, so I'm looking forward to that. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Legendary Coach Bruce Dick and the biggest names in preps on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This is Mike Rice, voice of UNC Basketball, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Angel, did you see my news on social media last night? I'm not going to be here for long, bro. I don't know if you saw it. Prep Star reached out to me and messaged me last night about 7:04 p.m. Brady, Prep Star has identified you as a college prospect. We'll connect you with thousands of coaches and now you can complete your recruiting questionnaire. So long, suckers. About time somebody recognized what my skill set, you know, at 155 pounds. In 2005, as a defensive back in Cheyenne Wells, you know, I didn't even put my film out. People will find it if you're great. They'll find it. I wrote back, I'm 37, but if you're in, I'm in. Let's freaking go. So what's next? I got to fill out this questionnaire, see if I got some eligibility left. I tweeted at all the coaches, all the basketball coaches. I don't know. I at first I was thinking football, but then I'm like, maybe basketball is what they're after me for. I was a pretty good defensive player, you know, the typical white dude. I was good at defense and I hustled. So if that's what you're looking for, let's go. Let's get after it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone needs a good scout team player.
What I'm amazed with is this Prep Star has 97,000 followers. So they have a lot of, I would guess, are they legit? They're reaching out to me like, dude, word's getting out on you. Is there another Brady Hull? Is there another at Hull show? I mean, come on. Do your research. I mean, I'm like I said, I'm in. I'm flattered. They must have discovered some of my stuff, man. And now they're like, hey, let's get this guy on a team. You know, I'm waiting for an NIL deal now. I don't know if I'll stay in the state. I'd like to. I'd like to stay in the state. You know, it just depends. If Smiley might take me over there, I could replace Saint. You know, Saint's gone. They're going to need some. They're going to need some production. Coming off the bench, too, with Reeves gone. Well, CSU, they're going to be looking for a point guard. Isaiah Stevens is gone. How about that? A lot of openings. Jeff Linder, you just got some bad news. How about this one, Angel? Wyoming. UW freshman, it's a Manyao and Combs are entering the portal. They thought these guys thought they were coming back. They just entered today. Wyoming's been decimated by the transfer portal. Just absolutely destroyed. How many players is that? We'll probably try to catch up with Cody Tucker tomorrow, our Cowboys insider. But we're going to talk Rams coming up here in just a minute. Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and joining me in the 1 o'clock hour. And then Connor McGahee will join me, the voice of the Colorado Avalanche, because we got Avs hockey on KFKA tonight, this afternoon. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.